listening to the Nerds Assemble podcast.
Welcome to episode 281 of the Nerds Assemble podcast. I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Paul, aka Retroid.
The crap's been happening since we were last with you, talking about what we've been up to. We're actually going to talk about at least one of those issues in today's episode. Do you guys all remember that Tumblr purge thing that happened a few years back, which kind of fucked up Tumblr and made it lose a huge section of users?
Spoilers there. I thought it was all going to go incredibly well for them.
I know. And you'd think that, companies would have learned from experiences of the likes of Tumblr and adult content, just content that isn't suitable for under 18s, really.
And before anyone says, oh, that's just porn, it's like, no. There's a hell of a lot under that umbrella.
Yeah.
There is also porn, but, you know.
Porn's a small part. And, yeah, there was a real issue sometimes on the platform with porn bot accounts, which are still there, I might add, several years after the smoking ruins that is Tumblr kind of is there.
Imagine my absolute shock.
I know.
The real problem, still there.
Yeah.
Anyone else who was actually, being useful and good and just, generally, part of a community, they're gone.
Yeah, pretty much. But, we just got a follow from Software Cool to the podcast. That's kind of cool. Ooh. Okay, we'll follow you back then.
Ooh.
Ooh.
A mutual following.
It's a mutual following whilst we're recording.
I'm outside the window right now.
In my defense, is because it's got notes about what we're talking about. Okay, so maybe you heard, maybe you haven't, but last week there was a whole hoo-ha.
Hoo-ha?
Hoo-ha. And general hand-wringing and, oh, for fuck's sake, being said collectively around a good chunk of the internet, or at least people who care about shit when it comes to digital expression. Because Discord had decided that not safe for work content was something not going to be a thing, pretty much, on its servers that also include people who are iOS device users. Yeah.
Deja vu.
I mean, it was kind of it's a bit unfair. Okay, basically, it was a service that either fully identified as NSFW or through its own ranking, deciding that it was a service mostly NSFW, you would be then auto-ranked as NSFW and then be unavailable on iOS devices unless you were a mod of said server. After what I would say was quite a big bit of outcry, and rightfully so.
And just general, what the fuck?
Yeah. They kind of backtracked on the severity of it. And I wish to read, because I was on communities that were sharing the messages that they were getting from Discord. I need to turn my phone around so that I can actually read this. So first message to the, and I will name this server, because they're actually a big one in Supernatural fandom. Like, they're one of our biggest. It's the Profound Bond server.
Mm.
And basically one of their mods, because they're at partner level, so they were getting communications from Discord itself. And originally they said to them, hey there, we're making some changes to help keep Discord a safe and secure place for everyone. Okay, thousands of communities have done an amazing job protecting their younger members by keeping mature content hidden in NSFW channels. Now we're working on a way to make a whole server space for adults only. We're calling this NSFW servers. how NSFW servers work. Children aged 13 to 17 will be blocked from joining an NSFW service. Fair. If a server is changed to an NSFW, its content will be hidden from any current members aged 13 to 17. Fair. NSFWs will be blocked on the iOS platform and for everyone except the server owner. Members aged 18 plus can still view NSFW servers on the desktop app and website. We're sorry for this inconvenience, in brackets. Servers focused on NSFW themes or where the majority of content is 18 plus must be designated to NSFW. This setting will be available to server owners soon. For now, we applied this NSFW designation to the following servers that you own. Profound Bond. Read more about blah, 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 blah. We'll never ask you sensitive comment, blah, 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 blah. So, that happened.
It's just the you know, the change in level, isn't it? It's between, you know, users who are, you know, below this age or, you know, minors will not be able to access, not, you know, not safe for work and say, yeah, well, okay, so long as you're not bastards with the, you know, any discussion of LGBTQ. As how exactly- often is the case, you know, that gets sort of caught up with it.
But you see, here's the thing. So that happened, and everyone got pissed off, because obviously, Pramble wasn't even served to get messaged with this kind of thing.
Yeah.
It included a lot of other servers. And a few days later, after, obviously, sites like The Verge, Ars Technica, a whole bunch more, and including a former employee of Tumblr who was there during The Verge, had a big-ass fucking go. We'll get to his tweet.
Were they just rocking back and forth? Go, not again, not again. It's happened before, it happens again.
Yeah, pretty much. But far angrier, actually. But anyway, good. So then Frambon, you know, owners get message, hey there, we sent you a message earlier that had some incorrect information about NSFW servers. Sorry about that. We wanted to clarify our guidelines around NSFW servers and how they work. NSFW server basics. Servers focused on NSFW themes and where the majority of content is 18 plus must be designated as NSFW. Users aged 13 to 17 will be blocked from joining NSFW servers. If a server is changed to NSFW, its content will be hidden from any current members who are 13 to 17. Okay. That we had before. That's not different. Pardon me. But for iOS devices, new members aged 18 plus will be required to opt in on desktop before they can join or access the server on iOS. Additionally, a small subset of NSFW servers focused on explicit pornographic content will be blocked for non-mod members on iOS devices per App Store guidelines. Sorry about that. Mods age 18 plus will still be able to moderate from their iOS devices.
What can you say there?
Profound Bond, thankfully, was automatically designated as NSFW, but not one primarily focused on explicit pornographic content. So they weren't completely screwed, unlike the original thing. But at the same time, we've got a tech company telling adults what they can and can't do on their devices. And this is perhaps an increasing theme among platforms and stuff, I would say, considering, as you know, we've referenced several times now, what happened with the Tumblr purge back in, I'm trying to think now, was it two? I think it was 2018 that happened in December. So, just getting to the tweets of the individual who was formerly in Tumblr when that was all happening.
I'll just strap in for this. This should be good.
So this was these tweets are from Matthew Biscoff. I hope I'm pronouncing this surname correctly. So he tweeted Verge's initial coverage on this. And he said, Apple's regressive stance on sexual content being available on its largest platform is verging on a full-on moral panic, and it's really gross. Entire businesses and communities have been crushed by it, and it often hurts queer and trans communities most.
Yeah.
When we dealt with this at Tumblr, it became my full-time job for weeks to find incredibly complex ways to appease Apple's censors. This happened every time they found a sexy blog they didn't like. It's absurd. And no, I'm not filing a radar about this, but if you're a pal of mine and you work at Apple, I hope you do everything in your power to change minds on this issue internally. Sex is not a bad thing, and adults should be able to access legal conversations and media about it. Of course, At the same time that Apple is pressuring companies to pull down sexual content they don't like, they're also directly profiting from subscription audio-erotica apps like Stories. It wouldn't be a story about the App Store without capitalism and hypocrisy. Thanks to some more courage this time from the Daily Dot. Anyway, Will is right here. It's a trivial problem to solve technically, but Apple's objections are moralistic, and they are completely uninterested in technical solutions that protect freedom of expression for adults on iOS. They couch this in the idea of safety, but for safety for whom? As long as the systems that currently underpin platforms remain in place, they're going to cater to more powerful platforms and business interests first, and users long after. Companies like Apple hold all the cards. Everyone else plays by their rules. For just some more, and it's just a long thread of stuff, and we'll link to this in the notes. And, nine hours ago, Matthew tweeted, 800,000 plus people saw this thread. Discord and Apple have changed their minds about blocking NSFW servers on iOS. Mm. Is this ideal? No, but it's parity with other apps on the App Store, and I'll absolutely take the win. Thank you for making yourself heard. Public pressure works. So how did this change happen? So he's retweeted somebody who's going by the username Evie on Twitter. Through the gate grapevine, apparently. This happened specifically because of the PR backlash against Apple. Apple asked for egregious porn to stay blocked, e.g. Pornhub server, which Discord is taken to mean very large and explicitly about porn, so unlikely to hit queer spaces. People keep telling me this can't have been started by Apple. I mean, Discord's original change doesn't match the App Store guidance at all, but that's the whole problem. Apple can do whatever they want semi-secretly and doesn't have to answer to anyone. As Matthew Biscoff retweeted that person, saying, like, this is exactly it. Apple's whims are implemented via App Store review, and companies are often too scared to call them out in the press because they're afraid of retribution. It was clear to me that this was would be what happened here. It's all very messy.
I think we need to condense this down to what it means, because that's a whole load of tweets and
So basically, it means that currently, so if you're a Discord user on iOS devices, so like iPad or obviously an iPhone, and you are on servers that are not 100% about porn, okay, but you have some NSFW content, so maybe you've got like a particular channel that happens to have explicit fan art in it, for instance. Naked computers, or explicit role-playing. Because Discord actually does get used a lot for role-playing. You might be flagged as NSFW, but because the majority of your content is not porn on the server, like it's just one little bit of it, it means that people who are 18 plus, who join your server now, will be able to access those not-safe-for-work stuff, but only if they agree to do so or do something called basically logging on browser. First.
Not everyone can do that, because the definition of login on desktop.
Yeah.
So does that mean someone can use their iPad?
Because they probably have auto opening links set to their apps as well. So that could get interesting. If you're already a known 18 plus user on a server that's affected by this, you won't have to do any reconfiguring, this sounds like. It's only if you're going on new ones. And miners basically won't be able to access any of this stuff on anything.
How do they make sure that miners can't access this stuff?
It's literally stuff to age gates and stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, age gates are notorious for basically allowing people to just go, I'm this age. Okay, you're allowed in.
That's the issue with all porn and that.
He is a credit card which happens to be in a parent or guardian's name.
Heck, usually it's just like, oh, when's your birthday?
Yeah. But at the same time, the other issue we've got is that, and this is one we could explore a bit more, is that, remember, in this country, until very recently, we were going to try and introduce an ID-only porn situation that we discussed at length on this podcast several times.
Ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. But then that's that's the Tories for you.
Yeah, because there was no safe way for anyone to hand over actual ID, and having people having to go into shops to show ID to get a pawn pass was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
A wang card.
A wang card, yeah. And it's kind of like the issue. I mean, and basically we're saying that, yeah, kids shouldn't have direct, easy access to pornographic content. That's not an issue. The issue, though, is that nothing's been done at the child and parental end.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
to deal with this issue.
That's always been my damn issue with this. It's always been, no, don't moderate everything else down so it's, you know, reasonably safe, you know, for children. That should never be the bloody aim. It's just, it should not be. It's just, you know, there are all kinds of, you know, if kids are accessing stuff through their own accounts on their own devices, there are various ways to stop them from accessing content that they should not. And then it gets a little bit wibbly wobbly with, you know, whether, you know, they should have, you know, which it, in my mind, it's like, yes, they should. They should have access to, you know, LGBTQ resources. Mm.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to work yourself out at an early age. And it doesn't help. So, you know, sorry to keep talking over, but it doesn't help when you're repeatedly told that, you know, what you feel you are is something inherently adult only, or you know, some weird bollocks like that.
Well, I mean, if you kind of talk to a lot of trans, I mean, obviously, I haven't exactly talked to like every trans person that I know about like issues to do with this, but one of the issues that keeps on cropping up is the automatic sexualization of LGBT bodies when they're not inherently sexual.
Yeah.
It's like the whole I remember it's veering slightly off in one direction, but it, you know, it just proves how utterly ludicrous it was, where I think it was someone was photoshopping female nipples onto male bodies, you know, just the nipples, and male bodies onto female big, and you know, and they're saying, well, that seems to be the issue, because it's a man's nipples, okay, but what if we Photoshop, you know, female nipples on? Then it inherently becomes wrong, or does it? Oh, right, you know, it seems to be a bit weird, the rules on this, because no one can actually sit down and work out what the hell's going on.
And I think this obviously kind of points to a bigger issue of it's not just about porn, it's about basically what people decide kids can't learn about. Which includes topics like, say, for example, substance abuse and whatnot.
I just think that a lot of the abuse scandals that we've heard of in the last few years would have been headed off at the pass, or at least massively impacted in their effectiveness, if the kids had more access to resources that told them what was right, what was wrong, what to expect, and what is definitely something that you should tell someone else about.
I mean, instead you hear about people harping on about, oh, leave children be children, you know, let's, you know, allow them to have their childhood. And it's like, you're trying to prepare these kids for the outside world. That includes stuff that you consider to be dangerous or toxic.
Or also morally wrong, because don't forget, you've got those people, usually religious, and extremely religious at that, who have a very puritanical attitude towards anything to do with sex. Meanwhile, everything to do with violence is absolutely fine. Violent content will not suddenly get, you know, shit, like, massively rated, unless, of course, like, you're already doing something illegal there and you're, I don't know, trading in snuff.
Well, that's the ultimate irony, because I think it was a tweet that you shared about that pointed to an article where they kind of, you know, had whole thing about people that threaten and, you know, basically threaten to kind of kill and rape people like sex workers and the heads of, like, you know, Pornhub and stuff like that. And it's like, right, so you're inherently against, you know, kind of trafficking. Yeah, that's absolutely fine. It's good to be against human trafficking.
Yeah.
But what do? You threaten to kill and rape based on that.
Oh, it's the...
How exactly is that, you know, morally superior?
This is an article that was on Vice over the weekend, if anyone's wondering.
But yeah, it's just the sheer venom. I was going to say camgirls, but not even, you know, up to that. It's basically, you know, if you dare to be female, and you know, and wear clothes that you're happy in on a stream, then you're going to get shit like that anyway.
Yeah, but also women who actually actively make the choice to be a sex worker.
Oh yeah, instantly
assumed to be some kind of like.
Degenerate.
Well, not even thing. Degenerate. It's incapable just, yeah. of making decisions for themselves, and
that's
clearly...
a thing. Yeah, it's either one or two, isn't it? There's either something wrong with a woman who might enjoy sexuality or sex, or they've got no agency.
Yeah,
and it's just really,
yeah,
because that all seems to be an incredibly old-fashioned, fucked-up view of people.
But also,
it's also pretty much circular reasoning as well.
And you know what? You know, everyone's attention, just bring this back to the Disco thing, everyone's attention has been on the whole tension with Apple and its content moderation. But let us not forget, Discord is a paid-for platform. You can subscribe to it to get additional services and access to certain, you know, like, features, basically. Discord Nitro and stuff. But... this is facilitated by electronic payments. Now, yes, there is a pressure from Apple due to whatever the fuck it's doing with its app store, but there's also pressure from the electronic payment side because the likes of Visa and MasterCard have been massively stomping down on electronic payments for anything to essentially do with sex work and porn. Like, they fucked over Pornhub this past year where, like, even though they've been pretty... Pornhub have been historically very good at dealing with what you would call was it CESM images?
Mm. Yeah,
CESM videos, child exploitation, and other. It's basically what you should actually call child porn.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't really want to have to say that term, but it's the proper kind of this is what investigators, everyone trying to fight their fucking shit, calls it. And because there was a few videos out of the millions, they're on there, and it's like, well, when stuff gets found, they obviously take it down. And the thing is that, unfortunately, exploitation material of children is fucking rampant in places with even less moderation, with less admin stuff going on, and in private communication channels.
Yeah. You know.
And there was before the internet in various ways. It's not like it suddenly sprung up.
That's why you have paedophile rings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's all think of the children, but then it's like, but none of this is actually helping with that. No. Meanwhile, you're fucking over the legitimate interests of either actual sex workers, actual just adults being adults who don't even aren't, yeah, you know, it's like it's trying to act like all this NSFW content is like ridiculously extreme. And from what I've seen on fandom servers where there is reason to have mature content, it tends to be less extreme than what you will find on Pornhub. Because
I'm not sure whether you can just. You know, kind of what you'll find on Pornhub as though it's like one thing.
No, it's because keep in mind there are more Pornhub sites out there, or Pornhub style sites out there, than what MindGeek, the actual parent company owns, actually deals with. Mm. Like, there are various tube sites out there that have even less oversight.
Basically part of the whole thing with this is because, you know, MindGeek, Pornhub, part of. What attracted a lot of derision and attention, you know, to them, was that their moderation was awful.
And then they got better at it.
Well, they got better at it, but only because they were forced. They were legally forced. There were women who were reporting that their, you know, videos were up on there without permission. They've been uploaded by, you know, exes or
revenge porn.
Yeah, you know, various, you know, nasty, you know, schemes. And
I mean, I think the lack of verified accounts.
Pornhub did not care. Didn't they remove anything that wasn't, you know, like a verified user, something like that? But
oh, they did that during the recent scuffle with, I think it was MasterCard and that for payment shit. They basically, in order to, they basically stopped having unverified users. They took down basically unverified user content.
Yeah, and it's just, that would have been a lot, you know, they would have come out with it, you know, of that, not with it, you know, of that, a lot better if they had actually just done moderation.
Yeah. But then we still got the issue of people saying, though, that they don't want any adult content. Like porn just shouldn't be a thing.
Not just porn, but sex in general.
Well, yeah, sex in general shouldn't be a thing.
I was just talking about the this earlier today and saying about the, you know, the new Puritans.
Oh, that's just an interesting turn.
Yeah, yeah, they're something, because it's weird how many of these things, it always seems to attract the right and the far right. You know, posting up various things and, you know, threats and saying that, oh, you know, adding in massive racism as well with, you know, oh, well, you know, all these sites are, you know, run by, you know, people of a certain ethnicity and that, you know, because they want, you know, to replace white people. And it's just, oh, good God.
Yeah. That buy site are cool, went in depth on that.
You generally tend
to kind of get almost like Venn diagrams of like the people that kind of do this kind of shit.
Unfortunately, though, that Venn diagram will also include a degree of Brad Femme and Turfness as well.
Yeah, they seem to be kind of moving close converging together, which is kind of a bit because scary. It's like, do you guys not realise that, historically speaking, you guys didn't get on, and there's a reason for that?
Yeah. Whether a lot of them will have a We the Baddies, you know, moment or not, I don't know. But yeah, whenever I've dipped in and had a look in the sort of turfy, you know, Brad Femme spheres or gender critical, there's been a lot of swerfery as well, where they're just, oh, you know, sex workers don't count.
Yeah.
And he says, "Oh, right. So it's all women, apart from these groups that we don't approve of." Just that seems to be a weird way of doing it.
It's very tiring. But I suppose everyone listening to this is wondering how this all ties together. It's basically you've got various corners of essentially
puritanical
thought. Thank you. Converging from various corners onto various parts of online existence. I've been somewhat dubious about the online safety white paper, or the white paper that our government introduced. It was either last year or the year before last. It was meant to promote online safety in general, or like pushing for basically initiatives to improve online safety, because think of the children was the main argument.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like none of it included stuff that would, as we've said, would actually help kids to avoid getting into situations they do not want to be in. And it's just like, oh, tooling parents up. I mean, here's the thing. You've got devices now that are, in some ways, can have as lasting damage as a car or a bottle of booze, like a bottle of spirits, to a kid in their hands. And there's no real parental control or guidance going on. And either that's due to because parents don't understand the technology themselves or understand what's out there, even though a lot of parents now have grown up with the internet. But digital skills are lacking, as are digital awareness abilities. Or you've kind of got apathetic parents who don't really care. Or you've got parents who do care, still can't figure out how to do the stuff that they want to do. Or everyone's just giving in and giving kids tech unsupervised. It's like I saw a comment from a friend on a work chat or something the other day, sort of like saying how their kid had been left alone for however many minutes, you know, young kid, under 10. And despite the fact that parental controls had been set up on their Amazon Fire TV, they'd figured out that if they created a guest pass or a new user account, like a sort of like a guest user account, they could bypass the PIN age settings for using certain apps on the device, and they were suddenly watching random YouTuber videos.
And it seems a bit of a fucking flaw that if you have a regular account on an Amazon Fire device, whether it's a Fire Stick or Amazon Fire TV, and it's pin locked to make sure that, you know, users who don't have a pin can't go on things on like YouTube freely, yeah, that they can just go and create another account on the system that basically just doesn't have it anyway. And I'm not, you know, like, I'm not blaming this particular parental figure for what happened, because they'd obviously done.
Well, no,
they've done everything that they could
tried,
do.
It's obviously Amazon's.
Yeah, so there's like, so there's the issue of saying, us saying, okay, yeah, like parents need to take more control of their kids, but like some of the tech companies are not doing anyone any favors in making it easy to lock kids and teenagers out of certain content and platforms.
I mean, quite frankly, parents and schools should be teaching kids about stuff anyway. Like,
yeah,
obviously not kind of showing porn on it.
As we said before.
You know, kind of telling them about, you know, sex and what it is and function of it and how things work and, you know.
I mean, to be fair, there's also, like, the proactive end of the tech industry. So, like, phones are definitely, like, the main way that a lot of this is happening. It's not even, like, laptops and stuff. And it's like, okay, right, well, why is it that phones can be have a shit ton of bloatware shipped on them when they go into people's, you know, go into stores and stuff and then get sold to people. But you can't end up with a situation where there's a configuration of, because keep in mind that a lot of time it's difficult for an actual kid to go and buy the device for themselves anyway. Why is there not a situation where you can't have pre-configured devices for minors that, yeah, you know, parent or guardian goes to get buy a kid, you know, buying a phone, they're asked, is it for yourself or a child? They would go, oh, it's for my, and they'll be like, okay. And then they get given the one that's already got all the pre-done stuff. But then the issue, of course, still comes in because we're relying on big tech and everyone to have a fucking sensible idea here about what is mature content. And there is still the issue of LGBTQIA plus stuff getting blocked when it shouldn't be, stuff to do with preventing suicide, eating disorders, all this really important stuff, or just general sexual health, because quite frankly, teenagers, unfortunately, under the age of 18 in US and other countries that have older age of consent laws, in the UK, teenagers under the age of 16 are having sex, and they need access to proper sexual health information, so that if they do this, one, they know who they can go talk to.
Now,
two, they know who the hell to go talk to if they need to get, obviously, emergency contraceptives,
yeah,
need to get tested for STDs, various things like that, need to get freaking what the hell to do for pregnancy tests, and, like, all these things that need to be, and you cannot trust, unfortunately, a lot of plots to handle this.
It's just, you have loads of parents who are, oh yeah, I don't understand it, my little Bob, or, you know, Bobby with an I, you know, set everything up for me because I don't understand it. And, yeah, teenagers are having, you know, sexy time. Are you trying to tell me that these teenagers who get all the hormones and, you know, the horny hormones want to do something with that rather than wait until marriage and, you know, they have
crazy,
a mortgage?
Right. Absolutely crazy, right? Absolutely crazy, but they are.
It's mind blown.
Admittedly, in theory, from latest lot of figures I've heard, and I suspect the past years kind of made it worse, but I say worse, having improved or worsened the situation depending on your point of view, if you're a teenager and your own sexuality. But, the rate of under 16s having sex before they were 16 in this country, I believe, had been dropping in recent years.
It would actually make me interested in the figures of when puberty starts now versus the past.
Well, yeah, because the thing is that puberty...
Because
statistics I've seen suggests that, at least for Western nations, that puberty has been starting earlier and earlier for both boys and girls.
Hmm.
Where before you saw figures suggesting that puberty tended to start maybe like around sort of like maybe like 12 or 11, there's been increasing signs that it's been starting before the age of 10.
Oh, seriously, that bad?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was kind of, you know, it used to start at like probably maybe like 14, 15.
No,
but
it's not never been quite that late. Even back then, that it would have been a late starter for secondary sexual characteristics to start developing.
I mean, things like being maybe about 13 when, you know, voice breaks in, you know, most boys.
But you've got kids developing pubic hair before the age of 10. You've got girls certainly starting periods before the age of 11. So, like, it's... Yeah. And this is the thing, like, okay, so if kids aren't getting the information from their school, their parents, their community leaders, their spiritual leaders, because don't forget, I'm not trying to paint all spiritual leaders with the same tar brush here. In some communities, you've got spiritual leaders who are actually very open about life and are not ridiculously illiberal. Like, they actually, you know, do encourage healthy relationships and attitudes towards things. My experience, they're few and far between. And they will help, you know, if a younger person goes to them for advice or stuff, or, you know, like teachers that will give decent advice do exist. But again, it few and far between. And there's been attempts to restrict what schools can say after there've been much kind of hard fought, kind of, you know, want to sort of like help you educate kids about all of these things and about themselves. Anyway, where does this relate back to Discord? We have a tension between the fact that kids shouldn't have access to porn. That generally should remain restricted material. At the same time, adults should not be freaking like restricted in this access, as long as it's stuff that doesn't involve porn acts that are illegal.
It's kind of
okay, but then at the same time, you need the teenagers and that to be able to have access to stuff to do with their sexual health, well-being, and identity, as well as gender identity, as well as stuff that includes access to advice around mental health and anything and all the various things, you know, eating disorders, suicide issues, depression, blah blah blah, that comes with that. Access to, one say, relationship advice as well.
It's there is a place, you know, for all these things. If something is illegal, then it's illegal, and you should be moderating to you know, help prevent, you know, child porn.
Yeah, basically.
You know, getting out there. No one wants to see that. No one, you know, no one reasonable.
But also things like bestiality, necrophilia, snuff. I think that's all the major ones. I mean, obviously, you know, and obviously stuff that is actual rape and non-consensual stuff. Actual content.
So what you're saying is basically illegal stuff.
Yeah.
Illegal stuff should be illegal. From
the, legal
content. Yeah.
These things are already illegal.
Yeah. And that means that basic community owners and platform providers should just be empowered to make sure that this content is removed, but that everything else, whether it's your cup of tea or not, remains.
How, everyone should have access to shouty cats, though.
Yes. Impromptu guests.
Hey, cows.
It's a load of weird tensions. You can't just say it's Discord's fault. You can't just say it's Apple's fault. Governments are doing bullshit. The reason Tumblr kicked off the way it was wasn't just Apple. Apple's been doing what it's been doing. Other platform holders have been doing what they're doing because of the Foster and Sayre. I can't remember what they stand for. Laws in the US, which are actually, they are about trying to stop sex trafficking, basically. However, the interpretation of them can get messy and basically lead to porn content being removed. It's, as I've said before in this podcast, it's one of the reasons why Craigslist got rid of personals.
Yeah.
Basically. But this is like this assumption that legit sex workers, no matter what, like there's this kind of assumption that anyone in sex work has been trafficked, which then goes back to that Vice article. That this assumption that, you know, and it's just like, oh God.
Yeah, it's the, oh, well, they, you know, they must have been trafficked.
And that, so we got that complexity going over there. We got the, you know, obviously extreme thought police over on one side, protecting a group that does need protecting from a lot of adult content, but for some reason violence and gore are okay, and I don't see how...
Well, in the end, it's kind of down to cultural standards, yeah. Really, isn't it? And that is kind of the danger, because cultural standards can shift, which means that something that is acceptable in our society at the moment could, you know, 20 years down the road, be completely taboo. And, you know,
yeah,
it's like...
Like Morrissey,
yeah.
Or Jim Davison.
Yes. It's just, it's,
oh,
just,
man,
it's
only racism.
I'm not, like, this is not, if like, only. This is not an easy issue to handle.
It's,
but
it's,
I think...
basically what we want to make sure is that everything, you know, when we watch a film or listen to a song or read a book or anything like that, it's not censored for TV before 9 o'clock.
Well, it is censored for TV before 9 o'clock.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not the, you know, like, I've watched stuff on, you know, Sci-Fi Channel.
Okay.
And yeah. it has a tendency of, when it has a TV series or when it has a movie, it will do a TV edit or it will buy the TV edit, and then it doesn't matter if it's 3 o'clock in the bloody morning. It will show the, you know, the pre-watershed TV edit.
Mm.
I mean, to be fair, this is one of the reasons why I bought the US version of Hannibal, aside from the fact that the UK release of Hannibal TV series is missing a load of extras. But the NBC broadcast had a lot of censoring going on, including shit like bits of, like, Alana's cleavage during some scenes in season 2. Where it was like,
you've got a series about serial killers
that do
ritual murders.
And eating go,
oh no, there's a little bit of a curve there. We best get rid of that.
And you could see little bit of, is her name? I can't remember the actress's name. Is it Catherine? Anyway, you could see some boob line. Like she was dressed, but the top was cut quite low. And in the freaking
as some fashions are.
and in this one episode, and it's in this scene where she's interviewing someone at the BAU in their interview room that they've got, questioning them, and like the bottom bit of her, it's just blurred. And it's like, what the fuck? There's also the fact that there's a lady in the swan painting in Hannibal's dining room that ended up with like the freaking swan's head cut off. So that, because it's just like, yeah. I mean, then we also censorship for like all the blood and stuff. And it's like, well, this is, I mean, again, like they censored a little bit for the blood, but then at the same time, like, so the American version of the Blu-rays keeps in more cuts towards like having blood on the screen for a bit longer and things as well. But also, like, they had to do interesting stuff with blood in order to be able to have any blood on the show because it was a network show, even though it was on late.
Had they seen the show?
Had they read the books?
God.
So censorship is an interesting thing. I say censorship. It doesn't. It's not because everyone tries to find censorship by what the government says you can't have. Actually, speaking of governments that do censor things, the Australian government, when it comes to video game ratings and not giving stuff, basically for extreme violence and gore, and like, but like, won't even give it like an adult rating. It's just banned unless you do certain changes to the game. Like the left. Remember the classic with the Left 4 Dead?
Yeah.
There's been some more stuff recently. I think Disco Elysium had a Ultimate Edition or something that didn't make it past their censors and would have to have cuts made to be allowed. And it's just like, this is my issue, is that when it's not something illegal, is then trying to censor it for adults? I was like, how about we don't? I mean, I don't think anyone's kind of got a leg to stand on for this kind of censorship. And it's certainly, if it's then instead a tech company doing it rather than a government. I mean, as whilst we were just getting our notes together for this episode, Parler's been let back on the Apple store.
Yeah, apparently so, because they promised to do some content moderation.
Yeah.
And is really?
Like, I mean, I know we've talked about content moderation during the course of this episode, but in this particular circumstance, I don't think that actually means much. Oh, speaking of platforms that are trying to bring in more moderation, which is just like, can't you just kick the underage people out? Reddit. They're trying to encourage communities to self-tag themselves for whether or not they're, like, not safe for kids. And before, it's like, well, if you're, like, a truly not safe for work Reddit, like, you would obviously be behind it's, like, private and you have to, like, get access to be able to be in there and stuff. Yeah. And now it's just, like, they're trying to get communities, there's, like, a beta feature out where they're trying to get communities to self-moderate and, like, say what audiences they're suitable for. I have not touched that on any communities I'm involved with because it's just like, yeah, that just seems like it's going to end badly.
I mean, I feel like they're trying to enact binary choices on things that are not binary.
Yeah, but also, why are we just saying that all spaces need to be okay for under 18s?
Yeah, which is where I was going with the, you know, the TV edits.
Yeah.
It's a nonsense when it's like, no, I'd know about the, you know, the average human lifespan, but it seems to be that people are only kids for like 16 to 18 years, depending on your definition. And then after that, there's a lot longer when they're not. So I don't quite get the, you know, trying to make everything safe for, you know, the youngsters rather than just saying you can't go in there and everyone else can do what, you know, what they're doing, you know, within the realms of legality.
Yeah. I mean, in a lot of countries as well, like what you're actually even allowed to, because obviously a lot of these platforms, they make the money for advertising stuff. But actually what you can advertise at kids and teenagers is increasingly true. Smaller and smaller. So it's like, well, you're not going to get tons of advertising revenue from these guys. Like, there's no money here. What, you're hoping they'll become pesky brand ambassadors for you in some way and use pester power? Like, like it's not kids that are paying for Nitro subscriptions on Discord. You know?
Yeah.
It's just really, oh, and this brings me back to another thing that keeps cropping up. So every so often there's like a massive cry from people who know no better, and they're usually under 18 as well, saying, oh, why doesn't AO3 have an app? And it's like, if you consider the content of AO3, it's not all explicit, I want to point out. There is a lot of content that has no sex in it at all, and it's just about people eating pie.
It's adult only in your mind.
When you say eating pie...
Literally eating pie. There's
okay, like, so there's no literally no innuendo in that.
No, literally eating pie. I mean, there's also fanfic about like Dean and Kaz growing into a relationship, but I think Dean's been randomly turned into an octopus, and he's not allowed to eat pie. It's the most saddest thing ever. I think the title of it is something like "What Has Eight Legs and Is Not Allowed to Eat Pie." I think it's by, is it Sarimush or Annie D? Anyway,
what? Hang on, what octopus? What?
Exactly.
But anyway, you just stumbled on the NSFW.
That's not. It's like it's a rated thing.
My first thought was aha, tentacles, eh?
It's a cute fluffy thing about Dean accidentally becoming part octopus and not being allowed pie.
Tentacles.
I mean, to be fair, they do make a point of the fact that because Dean is canonically interested in hentai and tentacles.
Well, there you go.
So they do make reference to that part. But yeah, anyway, where was that? So people keep trying to say, oh, let's have an app. Yeah, because they're mostly iPhone users. As like, well, you do realise that AO3 will never have an official app on there because of the restrictions and what kind of content those apps are allowed to have. It's like, do you guys not understand this? But also, we've now got a whole group of teenagers coming up through who weren't there in 2018 because, you know, it's only been a couple of years, but a couple of years is a long time when you're younger. as like who don't realize why Tumblr has like almost nothing on it these days. It's an SFW.
Yeah.
It's like because they Apple got pissy and forced them to read the content.
Because Apple is Apple, and even they've always had weird content stuff because one of the reasons, because the first smart device I got was an iPod Touch.
Yeah.
And then they did the oft complained about by me here thing of upgrading apps and not updating the iOS version on the device, which meant that things just, you know, more and more, every time you'd click on an app, it would say, oh, you need a more up-to-date iOS version. Effectively, you know, obsoleting me, you know, out of the market. So they did that twice, and I just decided, fuck them. But another thing was, while I was using an Android device, I could install emulators and various things, simulators for text adventures and things like that. So the text adventures would be running on a virtual machine, and the interpreter would be free. It would be ported to iOS, and before you know it, bam! Because it goes against their terms of service, which say that you can't run a virtual machine. Those apps were not allowed. They were they would be removed. They would be told, yeah, you can be on the App Store, and then it would be, no, Apple changes its mind, and it's just gone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought they were bollocks anyway.
I think going back to the main topic, do you think that they're worried that children will just stumble onto it, or do you think that they're worried that children will seek it out and be able to find it?
I don't think they're worried about either. They're worried about being present on the iOS App Store. They're not worried about the children at all. And this is generally the end thing. I put something on Facebook when this broke out last week before they backtracked. And I was like, the thing is needs to happen is that kids need to be educated about adult shit, in the sense that identify and be given the power to think to themselves, I'm going to back the fuck away from this. And I'm not going to go near it. It makes me uncomfortable. It's right that it makes me feel uncomfortable, and I should not interact with it, and I shall move away. But also have a situation where you have, but also encourage those kind of child parental relationships where they can talk about these things, or talk about it between them and teachers, anyone that's kind of somebody who's a role model that is in their life, kind of thing. But also then we need to be able to empower, the whole technology is parents need to be empowered to set up as much safety protocols as they can on their kids' devices and the internet connections that they have at home. And at the same time, it's a whole empowering element. Everyone needs to be empowered in some way.
Yeah.
To basically keep their environment safe for them. And it's understand... just...
knowledge and awareness.
How to deal with these things sensibly. Like, we're not at this point where everyone's trying to ban sex until there's some that would like to do that, but just because kids can, well, I say kids, unfortunately teenagers can end up having sex, nobody's banning sex. I mean, still, depending on the laws involved, it might be technically illegal, but the actual concept of sex has not been banned. As a result, that kids, and when I say kids, I mean teenagers, sorry, teenagers might stumble into it. So proper sex ed involves explaining how everything works.
Yep.
And how to not feel pressured into it.
Yeah.
How to feel comfortable with it if you get to a point where you do feel like you want to go near it. And how to say no.
Yeah, I was going to say consent is one of those areas that people for some reason just assume that they know everything about that's necessary, and then go, wait, what? Well, she didn't say no. Do you know what consent is?
Most don't.
Yeah. And so it's like, it should be an educational element. And to be fair, there's been some attempts to bring a degree of that into whatever's the... is it PHE or whatever over here in the UK?
Are they still doing that?
They
subject?
Have that. They do have that as a general thing. I know my youngest brother had to go through a load of it, and he only left school like the past year. Yeah, he's at college. But everyone needs empowerment, except the people doing the illegal stuff. You know,
they need disempowerment,
and the victims need empowerment.
Yeah. And I mean that's kind of the ultimate irony is the fact that, you know, all those championing, you know, the idea that, you know, all pornography is, you know, sex work and therefore, you know, immoral and, you know, basically just
ugh. I mean technically,
and it's like, you know, that kind of secrecy, a bit like, you know, the drugs and whatnot, is why there are areas in society where you'll get, you know, that level of, you know, crime and whatnot going on, because the people involved in those have, the decent people involved in those have no protection.
Yeah.
I think you'll find that once something is declared illegal, it stops happening.
Oh, if only the world worked like that.
Just, I've had that argument used at me, and it's just, Jesus, really? Really? Okay, the police can back up and go home then. The courts. Oh, everything's an ice cream day at the courts.
I mean, the funny thing is, though, is that the people that would make that argument are also often, I'll say often, not always, but often, the people that will turn around and go, "Ah, gun control wouldn't work because you'd still get people kind of coming in, the bad guys coming in, you know, and kind of getting guns unhandedly and still doing shootings."
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, every other planet, you know, every other country on the planet that has gun laws that, you know, say America, because we're all thinking of America when it comes to, you know, gun violence. Every country that's got, you know, gun control kind of proves the point that it does kind of work, you know?
And it's also this concept that basically if you cannot eliminate it completely, then it's not worth even trying.
Yeah. You know? It's just...
Yeah.
So we all need suitable spaces, and that's what it boils down to.
Yeah. But also, just don't leave kids and teenagers alone with devices if you can avoid it. Just...
I never did anything naughty with my computer as soon as I got the internet.
I mean, no offense to my parents, but having a computer that was in another part of the house away from everybody was probably a bad thing. Didn't tend to wander into porn.
I think
porn,
you mean a good thing.
Did tend to wander into porn, but I was definitely having conversations beyond my age appropriateness when we had internet in the house.
But then that was also when you probably didn't... You probably could have done with some online safety lessons.
Oh, this is true. At the same time, I tended to back away from stuff most of the time when I felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But, you know... Yeah.
It's knowledge is power, and please arm everyone with as much as possible.
I mean, let's face it, if we were going to take an extreme example of a lack of knowledge not empowering everyone, let's just look at how the chastity movement works for sex ed. It doesn't work for sex ed, and you end up with a combination of a load of STDs among teenagers, a load of teenage pregnancies among teenagers, or later in life, if they somehow manage to avoid those things and they remain pure before they get married, they have no idea where to stick it.
Yeah. And that's part of the problem with abstinence only, is the fact that it's not, you know, kind of turn around and saying, you shouldn't have sex, but this is how it's done. It's turn around and going, you shouldn't have sex, period.
Yeah, I wouldn't even tell you what period is, Paul.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah. I mean, what always happens is that a lack of information, you know, does not leave a void. Bad information will fill that void.
Yeah.
So you get all kinds of stuff that, you know, this doesn't count. Or, you know, if you do this, then, you know, I'll do that. And it's, you know, and that's the way it's supposed to work. Or, you know, there's all these kinds of, you know, myths and stuff that, you know, we'll all have heard. And it, you know, stand up after sex, don't get pregnant. All that kind of absolute bullshit. And it's important to get the good information people first,
and
rather than...
And it's proven... It's been proven over and over and over again that knowledge does actually tackle stuff like, you know, unwanted teenage pregnancies and whatnot.
Yeah. But it's the, if you don't tell them, then they won't think about it. And it's you've never met a teenager, have you? Were you growing in a vat? Because how the hell can you think that?
I mean, because occasionally we all stick on like YouTube and like these kind of the Reddit kind of things. Mm. And I'm pretty sure that we stuck on one the other day, which was basically about like, you know, doctors kind of...
I think it was gyno.
Gynecologists.
Yeah. Dealing with male partners during their partners' pregnancies.
Yeah, and like, say, for example, this couple that basically couldn't get pregnant, and the OBGYN would turn around and say, well, you know, how exactly do you do that? And it turns out that the guy was, without being too explicit, but using the wrong hole.
That apparently was a repeated issue across several of the commenters on that. Yeah.
Oh God, not directly with that, but I'm thinking about all these different things that I've read, in screenshots from Reddit, where you just have people who believe genuinely weird things. And it's either about sex or, you know, just basic biology or just, you know, really weird stuff. You know, like men never sit on the toilet seat because otherwise it's you know, that's a bit too feminine. See, you've got to be a manly man and hover. Mm. Have thighs of steel.
Or just levitate off.
You've never sat down in case it's a bit gay.
I've just found another Twitter thread.
Oh God!
It's a worthy Twitter thread.
You keep on posting these in the private chat, and I lose hours to them because I try and read everything.
So this is from Twitter user Chef F. That's Chef with EFF, and they did a long tweet thread the day before we're recording, so Sunday. And basically, it was like NSFW spaces for adults are shrinking. While the majority of the problem lies with big vendors trying to sanitize the web, the fact is people like me have been telling folks to get back to decentralizing the web. Setting up your own hosting has never been easier. I and others in tech have been telling you for years, it's free, you're the product. If it's free, you're the product, sorry. I and others in tech have been saying for years, platforms have to make a profit, and that alone puts you in their crosshairs. We have been called alarmists and hear crickets. Artists can lead a charge to change here. I say, with all due respect to all my artist friends, you need to get off your dead ass and stop trying to flock from platform to platform in the hope someone will host your content without a problem. Instead of earnestly hoping some platform will stick it in Apple's eyes, get a web host, turn the key on a WordPress or other hosting site that you control. Hosts like Gandhi Nevers will host your stuff. They don't care about content as long as it's legal. Because now we're past the threshold where you get to bitch about it any longer. You can set up a WordPress instance on just about any common domain registered these days, typically within an hour. From there, you can design your own presence. Taking back a decentralized web means you need to act. It doesn't mean how many follow or don't follow. Still, staking out your own plot of land is on you. It's not on Tumblr, Twitter, etc. They just want your clicks and data. They have no use for you otherwise. It's 2021. Days of needing a person like me to set up a web server for you are long past. I love my artist friends, and I'll help any of them if they run into trouble, but the solutions are a lot easier now, and there's no excuse anymore. Don't bitch. Act. And one more thing. Despite the previously decentralized web we used to have, the web was still communal. Bands of people flocked together to co-create sites in multiple voices. You can still do that too, from web rings, like sidebars, to multiple authors per blog. So stop your bitching and get to it. And by the way, gating NSFW access is straightforward too. So is integrating shops and payments. A lot of it is cut and paste or loading an extension. All you need to do is sink some time cost into learning how. P.S. Because I know this will come up, a platform who tries to attract you with, we provide X so you can do more of what you love, is lying. You have saved nothing if they change their terms overnight and you need to migrate elsewhere. Stop falling for that bullshit. I personally use blah, 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 blah. Okay, there are others. Take control. That's it. Oh God. Then they added to the thread. And it was just a load of cost stuff. But anyway, as someone who's been messing around on stuff like Mastodon for the past couple of years, I kind of get the point that they're having there, because it's kind of like...
Nobody can deplatform you if you own the platform.
Yeah, to an extent. So, they're talking about decentralizing as like a basic concept, but then there are actually stacks of technology that are inherently decentralized but also linked to each other through various bits in the background, like APIs and stuff. So Mastodon servers, and the way that's set up is that there's like most of the servers that are nice and are not right-wing assholes, because actually they're actually banned to an extent, basically under the collectiveness of the federated collection that is Mastodon. But yeah, like you agree certain things, at least for your instance, and then you're allowed to connect with other instances. So you may be on, you could create a Mastodon instance that's just for you and a couple of friends, but they can then connect to everybody else and talk to them if you want. And you could follow them and stuff, as long as your instance is on an unallowed list for doing that. But you would still own your instance on your server or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can also connect other bits of platforms. There's other platforms aside from Mastodon that are getting in on this. I think, is it ActivityPub it uses? It's something like that in the background. So like a blogging platform called Plume, I believe, can interact with this stuff. And there's like a couple other things. Somebody's got a Instagram alternative called PixelFed that can interact with Mastodon. Like there's various bits of an open source project going on, where if you have your own server, you can set up your instance or instances if you want, or you can obviously go and join somebody else's instance off of their own server. Stuff like that's been going on. I mean, I've had my own website, not that I've done anything for ages, since I did my master's, and that was before social media massively took off.
I remember when social media was email and guest books. when it was all just fields. Oh, yeah. Jesus, I'm old.
I still remember when social media, the next stage up for them was just, it was regular forums, PBB and stuff. But I see a lot of people, the thing with Discord of the past week, I've seen a lot in fandom circles being like, oh, well, what do we do? What do we do? If blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, well, this keeps happening. And I've said in a few spaces, I've been like, this keeps happening. Like, you're either going to have to, Chef F said, do your thing, learn a bit, and unfortunately spend some money. It's kind of how it goes. Because that's what it was like in the early days of the web. If you wanted your own space, you made it for yourselves, or you worked together with a bunch of friends to make it for yourselves.
Yeah, you would set up a GeoCities and then give other people the password to the file upload.
Yeah. I mean, these days, something like AO3, so for instance, like there's a lot of people that hate AO3. Did you know that AO3 is an open source project and you can take the code that runs AO3 and go and set up your own archive if you want to?
What archive of my own?
Exactly. If you really wanted to, you could do that. I mean, it's still in beta, so you might feel a little bit with the code. I'm not sure.
There are so many places that I've seen, someone having a really... It's a bit like diaries.
Mm.
It might start off strong, and then, I'll visit, whatever a page for, someone's, electrical, fiddling blog, and it will be, sorry for the time off, I'll update more soon, and that was posted in, 2013.
To be fair, my personal blog's like that, which I admit is hosted on WordPress.com.
Hex dimensions like that.
But yeah, but we basically just stopped doing that because nobody had time.
Because time is a sword.
Yeah. And I know this podcast is still technically still currently on Tumblr, but don't worry, we have the foundations in place to move elsewhere if it needs to be. And we're meant to be doing that slowly but surely. But yeah.
We drew our plans against them.
I feel like we've talked the subject to death. I hope we don't have to talk about adult content on the internet for a while.
I mean, it's kind of a bit of a dangerous place, especially with this topic, I feel.
It's a complicated one.
Because you're kind of dealing with not safe work content and protecting it from minors.
Yeah.
We're fine with smut, not fine with Nazis. And we're fine with people having access to the information that they need to sort themselves out.
Mm.
We've solved it.
Obviously, you can tell kind of how we lean politically.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, if people haven't kind of guessed that from previous episodes already, I'd be a bit worried.
But I always kind of find it interesting, no matter who you kind of talk to, there's always kind of risk that you'll kind of have... misaligned, kind of stuff, like ideas on things, even if it's, you could both be against Nazis and whatnot and still completely disagree on...
porn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not even... I don't even like actual live-action porn. I really hate it. I find most of it just really... freaking horrible and gross.
You don't want it to not exist.
I stand up for the right for sex workers to reproduce it when it's within their own agency and control.
Yeah.
And I stand up for people to consume that legitimately produced content. Everything else that's like that. That shouldn't exist because it's illegal and there was a lack of consent. No, it shouldn't be there. For obvious fucking reasons.
I mean, it does remind me because I've seen parts of Twitter where it's like they equate sex positivity with basically like anything sexual, anything's, free game type thing. And it's like, that's not what that means. That's not widely understood in the original meaning to be basically you're sex positive in the sense of no shame for having sex, no shame for not having sex, just generally having a positive attitude towards sex in general as long as it's consensual and whatnot, because if sex isn't consensual, it's actually rape. Come on.
Yeah. And as an example of the kind of stupidity, I saw a mutual, I think it was yesterday, say, and this is as much as she said, that sex scenes aren't bad. They aren't automatically bad in, books and, film, TV series and, media in general. And got a reply of, check their hard drive.
Oh, do you know what? Somebody retweeting about that ended up on my fandom account that you're still not going to find.
hang on. I'll check if I'm not following it already. What's the tag again?
It's weird. Do you know what? One of your tweets once ended up on there. One of your big, really popular ones.
What, the ones that I just made absolute... I've just had a great idea. I'll tweet this out. People will like it. No fucker cares. I'll throw something out and I don't care about it. I'll random brain fart. Here it is. Oh, it's gone numbers. Oh, this is how it works. The lesson is don't try.
But yeah, like we were saying about that person with the hard drive comment. Yeah. That.
It's like, fuck's sake, really?
I mean, you would imagine that most people would have this idea that certain aspects, like, say, for example, paedophilia or bestiality or whatnot, are inherently bad. And unless you explicitly say otherwise, you think it's inherently bad.
Yeah, it's it's kind of sometimes you, yeah, people will come out with something and it'll be, where did that come from?
But also then there's the issue of people not being able to make the distinction between fantasy and reality.
Yes.
And so it's like, so expression via fiction and fantasy is somehow still absolutely fucking terrible and is the same as actual real individuals or animals or whatever freaking being harmed. It's like, no. And also one isn't a gateway to the other, despite no. how much people keep trying to say it, but like actual psychological studies are like, no. So it's like, oh God. So it's like, yeah. It's all messy. It's complicated. Mm-hmm. Tech companies,
like life.
Tech companies, the government, weird religious moralists and that are not mm-hmm. making any of this easier. And the people that need to be protected aren't being given the actual tools they need to protect themselves.
Not effectively, at least.
Not effectively, yeah.
Instead, they're like, cover your ears. How's that help?
Doesn't really.
They can still see what you're motioning.
You guys do not want to know what motion Paul just made with his goddamn hands whilst he was saying that word. Dear Lord.
It was a metaphor.
Dear
Lord. I bet it was.
I mean, fairly, now I'm now being reminded of the dance moves that I made for the song Violent Pornography by System of a Down that we used to dance to when we went to that.
We went dancing? Immorality!
That used to happen in Plymouth.
Don't you know dancing is the gateway to sex?
And? but also, that, we've only touched on a bit, there is that just that general attitude, like, take sex positive stuff, it's just general attitude that just seems really fucking weird of, like, sex is bad. And it's like, what? Sex is not bad! Non-consensual shit is bad!
Yeah.
Sex is not bad.
Yeah, it's just what stop. Kind of century are you from?
But part of the problem is that you have like these other communities where they'll take words like sex positivity and keywords like that, you know, the lingo, and rather than actually learn what it means, and even like even if you were to attack it based on that, instead they go sex positivity. I think it means this, therefore I'm against it. Therefore, I'm against you. Hold on a minute. That's not what we mean by this word. Don't care. You're just evil scum. You don't deserve to be listened to. What?
I think we haven't touched it enough, even though I'm trying to wrap us up. This is great. just how these content bans still seem to tend to like obscenely be worse for LGBTQIA plus communities. They seem to be the ones most adversely affected percentage wise by this kind of bullshit. Like, the Tumblr post did not help. The thing that Discord were trying to suggest, it was like, right, but like, certainly on the fandom side of things, because I'm not a member of any Discord service for gaming, despite the fact that I play games. I do not use Discord for gaming at all. A lot of the communities, like, this LGBTQIA plus positive communities, and there are some, you know, obviously cis and heterosexual people in there, but compared to the normal population, the number of these communities that actually have a percentage of people who do not identify either as cis and or straight is huge.
Yeah.
Like, it's more than the regular. So any of these content bans tend to negatively impact these groups more.
Mm-hmm.
And also, that's, actually, if you can...
To a certain extent, that's part of the design.
Yeah. And then also there's the simple fact of the matter, certainly for fandom spaces, okay, so I've just said, you know, obviously, like, it, like, there's a huge percentage that aren't cis and het, but actually there's a huge percentage that obviously is cis and het, but they're also inherently women a lot of the time. And so this sort of thing, like, massively impacts on women as well. Like, there are out and out, I would say, there have been some very terrible communities that have been found on Discord and then since banned. Like, there have been issues with Nazism, still not perhaps tackled enough, I have a feeling. If stuff I've commentary I've seen elsewhere is anything to go by, and various other areas of abuse, but like stuff like, certainly on the fandom side, like with servers being negatively, it's like it massively impacts women more than men.
But I mean, bear in mind, obviously you've kind of listed off like several groups that, you know, are kind of attacked by this. But also one group that is, I feel, indirectly attacked are also neurodivergent people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like these people have this preconceived notion of what is a woman, what is a man, what is, you know, the right way for society to be, and anything that goes against that, they take it down by any means necessary, including trying to control culture.
Yeah.
And it's basically based on their own, you know, sense of morality and ideals. And it's like life is not binary like that.
Nope.
And most problems are created by the people who tend to think that life is binary in every single way. Things are good or bad. There's no shades of grey. It's just there are very few things I can think of where that is true.
Well, I mean, I think I can't remember where it was pointed out, but even like circuitry, where you'd think like binary is, you know, kind of computer language and it's on or off and there's no in between. And it's like, in actual fact, the electrical conductivity or electrical signal going through that is actually still a spectrum, because it doesn't actually equate to just one or just zero based on its power. There's fluctuations in the power.
Oh, hell
yeah. So it's like, yes, the computer can read it as zeros or ones, but in actual fact, it isn't quite that simple. And a lot of the time, computers have to adjust the ones and zeros because those do get flipped as well.
Yeah. And then aside from the grey area, as you said, obviously, precincts of it, the culture side, like, we're a little bit more lenient on sex in the UK than America. We're still pretty fucking puritanical compared to many of our European neighbours. Australia is just what? Don't know what the situation is in New Zealand, but then a lot of media takes a sadly long time to get to them.
Yeah, well, it's not just that, but also we don't generally tend to report on a lot of New Zealand stuff unless it's the coronavirus.
Well, that's true. you know, obviously... Well,
the Kiwis would say, what's that then?
The situation in places like Japan is different
and
complex because they have their own situation with various... mores around feminism and stuff anyway, and agency going on, their own battles to battle. I mean, Christ, like, LGBTQIA plus content in China's like a no. If you want that kind of content, it's basically hidden in depths of subtext and various things. That The Untamed was ever made, I still am surprised by. But it's still nowhere near as explicit as the novel it's based on. Or I think that, like the I don't know what you call Chinese comics, but comics as well. Because they don't call it manga, because that's a Japanese term.
Well, yeah.
So
yeah.
But yeah, it's like, well.
We live in a global society.
Heck knows what the situation is in Russia, but...
But yeah, we live in a global society, and you all kind of... seem to have groups online that will basically, you know, just assume that the entire world is, you know, their country online.
Yeah, and one thing.
It's just like the entire world, your country, big difference.
Yep.
But anyway.
We should definitely wrap this up. We're sorry if we've rambled. It's a complex issue. We all have we have opinions on stuff, but also knowledge on stuff and experience on stuff, because all three of us have been using the internet since before a lot of other people were, even who were born before us. Actually, we're all early.
Don't make me cry more.
We're all early adopters of the internet.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not entirely sure whether early adopters is necessarily the right word. We experienced the early web.
I I was one of the first places in the village to have home internet.
I wasn't.
I had used email before almost anyone else at school. Like, that's crazy.
Do you really want me to join in on this?
I before I even started sexual, actually went to a local internet cafe. Do you know what? Wow. Maybe we should just get rid of smartphones and just go back to having internet cafes, because then nobody's going to be looking at explicit content then.
Oh, sweet summer child.
No, it'll just be the computer in the back.
Yeah. That'll be
a premium charge.
Which one, which computer has the monitor facing a wall? That's the one that's going to have the smut on it.
No, that's the computer that's conveniently placed there for the secret or special or rogue agent from some action film that's going to come in and have to use the computer quickly to get some information and then dodge out of there. I've seen that internet cafes as plot devices in several films over the years. Where it's like,
bless.
It's the only way we're going to get online. Quick, internet cafe. It's like,
And I just generally feel like technology is moving on and people are moving on, and what they're trying to do is backwards.
That's people for you.
Yeah.
It's basically, I've been using the internet since the, before the internet. And I think part of the problem seems to be, I like social media. I think social media is a net good. It's a net positive for us. For a start, we would not have met, even though we haven't physically met.
We have to change this when there isn't a global pandemic on.
Yeah, yeah. I know. It's just this needs to be changed. It's a weird little thing, but it's a kind of, people can be friends for years and never actually meet.
Yeah.
It's kind of, how the internet works, but it's there are various people I know who it was years before I physically met them, but I knew them, they were mates.
I mean, I've had several instances in my professional life where I've known people online before I've ended up working with them. Happened with my first real job, it's happened in my current job.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I think. But yeah, for all the thing that I think social media is a net positive, I think there are other communities that would benefit from having the, closed forum. Well, not so much closed. Well, closed as in it's on their site and that's it. Not closed as in, not publicly visible, all that kind of thing. It's like, there's a friend of mine, I've known him for decades, and he's very much of the what's the point of Twitter? Because if he wants to talk about something or find information out about a niche topic, arcade boards, he would it's like I introduced him to arcade boards, but he heavily got into it before I heavily got into it.
Yeah,
I basically stumbled across this small arcade that was flogging off its cabinets. Bought one, told him about it, he went and bought one, and then he snowballed far, faster than I did. I waited until lockdown for that. But if he wants to, find out information about, an arcade board and what's going wrong with it, then he'll go on an arcade board forum. And it's like, I get it. Just yes, hello, Callie. If I want to read about like a comic series, I'll probably find a comic forum somewhere. But it's like my pinned tweet on Twitter with the mariachi. Q and Captain Picard looking fed up because Q's got the mariachi band.
Yeah,
and in that regard, I know not everyone I follow and not everyone who follows me on Twitter is going to be interested in the intricacies of an arcade board or what's wrong with this episode of Star Trek or, anything that's hugely niche like that. But there will be forums and sites that are dedicated to this, and a lot of them will be still running. You know, because I've visited some of them. Yes, some of them have died. They've just, you know, the visits are petered out, and the last one, you know, last post is from, you know, years ago. But there are various archaeid, you know, collectors forums and such, where they have hundreds of posts an hour. And there'll be people talking about it, and there will be people who know about them and, you know, discussing and sharing knowledge that would otherwise be, well, you know, no one else would have it. But you're going to have things which will, you know, be generally interesting or popular, and it will catch someone's eye who just happens to be looking at, you know, their timeline at that particular point. But otherwise, yeah, it's good for generally meeting people and discussing certain topics, but when it comes to, you know, specifics, you're probably better off in the, you know, the smaller, more specialized communities. And I think in some way we've kind of lost sight of those. Mm. We think everything should be on Facebook or everything should be on Twitter. And while that can be true, it's not necessarily the best way of using it.
No.
But, so, yeah.
That sounds like a good wrap-up point.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Genuinely, that's all we've got time for this week. So
you keep on saying that. It's not what we've got time for. We can go on for hours. It's just that we're choosing. This is a choice. We are choosing to end it on that note.
Okay.
It's not necessarily all that we should, but it's definitely all that we can.
Did you hear about all those complaints the BBC got? No, sorry.
No, Emily. No. Bad Emily.
That's all we've got time for. So it's good night from...
It's good night from me, Paul Wood. I'm Retroid on Eurogamer.net and Super Retroid on Twitter.
It's good night from me, Paul Blewett, and I'm on Twitter at Paul Blewett.
And it's good night from me, Emily King. I'm on Twitter at EMKingMA. You can find notes for this episode over at www.nerdsassemble.co.uk. You can find the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Nerds Podcast. You can find us on Facebook as Nerds Assemble Podcast. We're available in places like Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and whatnot. And generally, that's it. That's all we've got for time for this week. So good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Are we safe for work?
Technically, no. I smell so much.
Yeah, definitely not.
What about if I make this voice? Are we safe for work?
I mean,
now I'm just thinking of the shipping forecast.
I told the salt container to fuck off earlier, so yeah, I'm probably not safe for work.
Yeah, we are not safe for work. We're not safe for anyone.
In my defence, it fell over.